is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. The Roman Catholic Church has many traditions and beliefs. How many of them are biblical? That is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host, Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Mike, welcome.
Oh, Thomas, good to be back with you.
Mike, early in the week, we were talking about some things. You said that you're going to Nebraska, I think in the Omaha area, and you did a little, radio sort of preview of what you're going to be...
Yeah, one of the Christian radio stations up there had me on for an hour, a call-in talk show, to promote the conference and to talk about how the two Gospels are contrasted, the Roman Catholic Gospel and the Biblical Gospel.
Mm-hmm. And what was the response to the radio?
Well, we had some Catholics call in that were very upset with another anti-Catholic being on the air. And, of course, I always have a problem with that because I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm pro-gospel and pro-Jesus. And, you know, you can't be in between. Jesus said you're either with me or against me. And when you're with Jesus, you're with his gospel. Mm-hmm. And anything that stands in opposition to the gospel, then you are against. But we're not against the Catholic people. We're against the institution that has deceived them. And so it's our heart's desire that we could rescue many Catholics out from under a false religious system by proclaiming the truth to them.
And when you say against, it's a matter of just laying out the facts. For example, the Roman Catholic Church has its own teachings. And Mike, you as a former Catholic, I was a Catholic. What we're doing now with our lives is comparing what the Bible teaches with what we were taught in the Roman Catholic Church. And we, at the very least, we see that there are not the same. And Mike, I know one thing that you've mentioned to me when you've had, well, not even debates, but when you got into a Q&A, question and answer session after a presentation, you say, look, all I want to do is represent and not misrepresent what the Catholic Church teaches. If anybody out there can tell me where I'm misrepresenting, I will change. I will make a correction. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And that goes for representing the Lord Jesus, too. If we're not speaking according to the Word, then we want to submit to any criticism and conform ourselves to the truth of God's Word. We want to be accurate in both representations, both the Catholic teaching as well as biblical teaching.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that if they are contradictory to one another, then logic would tell you they both can't be correct. You know, we're in a day of whether you call it postmodernism or your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, but that doesn't wash. Something is either true or it's not true, can't be both, especially at the same time. So the name of this program is According to God's Word, and we're encouraging all We try to encourage all of our listeners not just to buy what we say, buy into what we say. We encourage them to listen to what we have to say and then search the scriptures to see if these things are true, because all we're trying to present is what God's Word says. It's as simple as that.
You're so right, Tom, and so many people see this as a gray issue, but it's really black and white. It's impossible to believe two opposing views simultaneously. One has to turn from believing the false way and to believe the true way that is revealed in the scriptures. It's impossible for someone to be saved by grace and at the same time be saved by faith plus works, because works is what nullifies God's grace. They're mutually exclusive. You can only believe one doctrine at the same time.
Right. Mike, as you know, and for the sake of our listeners, we're going through the book of Galatians, and there have been some who have characterized the Roman Catholic Church as the Galatian heresy. Now, what does that mean, Mike? Is that just a put-down, or is there some substance to it?
There are so many similarities between the Judaizers and the churches of Galatia, as well as the Roman Catholic Church today. In both instances, they believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and part of the triune God. They believe he died for their sins, and they believe the fundamentals of the Christian faith. But they're also similar in the fact that the Judaizers wanted to add additional requirements for salvation. The Judaizers wanted to add circumcision as necessary for salvation, and the Roman Catholic Church has added other requirements such as baptism and sacraments and participating in the sacrifice of the Mass and good works and obeying the law. And so these are all extra requirements that nullify the gospel of grace. It is indeed another gospel.
What did Paul say about that? He was pretty upset.
Well, he said, in fact, he used the strongest language that he used in the whole New Testament. If anyone preaches another gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be anathema, which means let them be accursed or turned over to God for condemnation, a very severe judgment on anyone that would pervert the pure gospel of grace. And yet it's so clear that the Roman Catholic Church has done this. You read any of their authoritative documents, and it's all spelled out what Catholics must do to complement what the Lord Jesus did. In other words, they don't believe Jesus did at all, and therefore they're given another gospel to tell them what they must do.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're listening and you're not familiar with the book of Galatians, I would recommend that you read it. We've been going through this book for a number of months now, and we're in chapter 6. We're going to pick up with verse 1, but I would encourage every believer out there, including evangelicals. Mike, one of the problems that I see in terms of trying to explain what we're explaining here to Roman Catholics, not many evangelicals support this. And it's not because we're not going to the Scriptures. It's just that they don't understand the Scriptures, or they really don't understand Roman Catholicism.
Well, Tom, I think it's because they don't see that the differences are that broad. Mm-hmm. It's the difference between heaven and hell. You cannot add one thing to the gospel. If you do, it becomes another gospel. Those who believe it have believed in vain. Those who teach it are under a curse. It's that simple. It's missing heaven by the distance between a person's heart and a person's head.
In Galatians chapter 6, we're going to pick up with verse 1. Well, I'll just read the first couple of verses here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, earlier in Galatians, Paul is talking about how you live out the Christian life. It's not by might, it's not by fleshly works, it's not by keeping laws and so on, but it's by his Spirit, doing the things, not for salvation, but doing the things that please the Lord, that we might reflect his life in our life. So in chapter 6, there's an application here for the believer in his life. And the contrast is between trying to do something by the laws, or for those of you who are Roman Catholics, again, as I mentioned earlier, Mike and I are former Roman Catholics, we did things by rules and regulations. We did things because the church said so, and when we failed in those things, we had to go to the church for forgiveness. It was a, call it legalism. It was really, it's a legal system in which the priest is the one who adjudicates. He's the judge right there. He tells you not only he has to absolve you of your sin if you bring the, you know, a heart that's contrite, but he also then doles out the punishments for that. So, Mike, again, verse 1, how do we understand this from a non-legalistic standpoint?
Well, it's speaking of a man caught in sin, and this could either mean that he was actually seen by another person committing an act of sin, or it could mean that he was snared by the sin itself. And so the exhortation by Paul is that those who are spiritual, that is those who are walking in the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, and evidencing the fruit of the Spirit, they're the ones that are to go in love to help restore this person to a right walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's actually guidelines for us to do this. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, we see how those who are spiritual are to go to those who are caught in sin to restore them not only to a relationship with Christ, but also to the church. Mm-hmm. It tells us that first we're to approach them one-on-one, and then if they are unwilling to repent and be restored, then you go and get another witness. And if they're still unwilling to repent and be restored, Then you take it to the church. And if you go before the church and they're still unrepentant, then you are told to really drive the person out of the church, excommunicate them, not only for the good of the church, but for the name of Christ. And so this is called spiritual discipline. The whole purpose is to restore one to fellowship and to help them through their entanglement in sin.
The other aspect of this, Mike, that really hit me as I've kind of been going over it, is that what we have here among believers, we're basically to be a shepherd. Mm-hmm. We're to minister one to another. If I see a brother, you know, in sin, we're not talking about a continual sin that he keeps doing, then you've got a problem of how to discipline, you know, in that case. And as you mentioned, according to Matthew chapter 18. But what I'm thinking about is, let's say a brother falls into a sin, or it could even be, it talks about burdens. It may not be a sin with regard to personal sin, but it may just be something caused by sin, an event in his life where he really needs help, he really needs support. So this brings up the idea of pastoral help, as a shepherd would minister to his sheep. But Mike, I never found that in the Catholic Church. As I mentioned earlier, a priest, and I've had many priests, you know, in my life, good friends of the family and so on. And I'm not saying that they didn't minister in some ways, but basically the job of the priest is not pastoral. It's not even to be a shepherd. It's to be a judge. It's to deal with those who break the laws, minister the laws, and so on. I mean, isn't that the way you understand it?
Well, that's true. Very seldom did you have any pastoral concern or compassion from the priest. In fact, oftentimes when the sheep were missing from the church, the pastor had no concern for them. But Tom, I think it's interesting too, we're talking about sin in general, but I think we can also refer to this as a specific sin. We know that there is a sin of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have a person within the church, for example, a Roman Catholic who has come in and has an unbelief, he hasn't trusted in Jesus Christ, then this is also something that we need to do. We need to speak the truth in love, and there may be consequences to a sin of unbelief, confusion, and disorientation toward the truth. And so this is, again, pastoral, where we can take them under our wing and begin to teach them everything Christ has commanded us.
Mm-hmm. Growing up Catholic, I never really found that, as I found today within the body of true believers, ministering one to another. I'm not saying that we didn't have Catholic friends that didn't come to our aid from time to time. But what I'm really saying is that for the priest, in terms of ministering, in terms of going out, really, did you find that? Particularly, there are some men who are gregarious and outgoing and loving, but I'm talking about in terms of what the church would have them do. The many times, or maybe the few times, that a person could have contact with a priest was at the confessional. And what took place there? Certainly not pastoral or shepherding kinds of things. He listened to your sins. He evaluated as to what was mortal and what was venial. Then he had to go through a process of deciding what punishment, what penance to give. And that was it. And for a priest, if you have, I don't know how it is today, but I remember back as in my youth, I mean, there were lines getting ready. I mean, you'd be sitting in a pew or waiting to have your turn there. And it was just like, you know, not exactly a conveyor belt, but just keep cranking them out. Let's get them all ready for communion on Sunday. But certainly not the pastoral part that these verses are talking about. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
And you know, Tom, it's sad. If the priest only knew the gospel of Jesus Christ, they could say that you're in bondage to sin, and the only way out of this bondage is to trust Jesus Christ to save you from sin, not only the punishment, but also the power of sin. But for 37 years, as I went to confess my sins to a priest, not once did they share the gospel or the power of Christ to overcome sin. And of course, this is what a pastor is called to do, is to give spiritual counsel. But since they don't know the gospel, then they couldn't help us.
Right. And the last part of this verse, so fulfilled the law of Christ. We're not talking about the Ten Commandments here. This is not what the scripture is indicating. The law of Christ is the law of love. It's loving somebody in truth.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
This listener writes, regarding the many Catholics who either reject some of the major dogmas of their church or simply don't bother to keep up with the practices their church requires, what happens to them? Mike, this is a question, well, not a call-in show, but if we were a call-in show, this would be a question I really would like our Catholic listeners to address.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because of all the Catholics I know, I don't know of any that uphold all the dogmas of their church. It's more of a smorgasbord approach. They pick and choose what they want to follow and they reject the rest. But you know, the Catholic Church isn't lenient on this. The Council of Trent issued a declaration back in the 16th century that still holds today. It reads, to check unbridled spirits, no one relying on his own judgment shall presume to interpret the scriptures contrary to Holy Mother the Church. Those who act contrary shall be punished in accordance with the penalties prescribed by the law. Well, what happens, of course, in actual practice is the Catholic Church doesn't really know. Many of the Catholics aren't following all the dogmas. I think in severe cases, we had an instance where one of the cardinals in France was in total rebellion to submission to the Vatican, and so they finally excommunicated him and his flock. But that's very rare. Most of the time, I think the Catholic Church is pretty lenient.
Mm-hmm. But still, that's a judgment, and it's in place. These judgments are in place. And, you know, again, I wonder how those who call themselves Catholics, those who, as you said, Mike, pick and choose what they want to believe, well, when they reject something that the penalty for it is a mortal sin, and if you commit a mortal sin, according to the church, you have been removed from sanctifying grace. If you die in that condition, there's no hope for you. There's no purgatory or anything beyond the fires of hell. You go directly to hell.
Well, not only do they have to be concerned about mortal sins, but also anathemas. The Catholic Church has issued over 100 anathemas for anyone who does not submit to the official dogmas of the Catholic Church.
Now, explain anathemas for us, Mike.
Well, an anathema, of course, we know it only occurs twice in the New Testament, and Paul issues an anathema or a curse on anyone who does not love God or who perverts the gospel of grace. But the Catholic Church didn't think those two were enough, so they really disregarded those two and came up with 100 of their own. And they have to do with things like, if anyone believes they are justified by faith alone, then they are accursed. And of course, that's what you and I believe, Tom, that we're justified by faith and not of works. So we stand condemned by the council of the Catholic Church. And so do any Catholics who don't believe that. We talked to some Catholics today that don't believe in purgatory. Well, they're under an anathema by their own church.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when we ask questions to Catholics and they say they don't believe these dogmas, we ask them, why would you continue to worship in a church that condemns you? And of course, they don't believe that the church really condemns them. And so many Catholics are in a state of ignorance as to what the church teaches and what it condemns.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the term condemn, because that's what anathema means. There are a lot of meanings, and they're all very bad, whether it be excommunication. You talked about being accursed. Again, it's a condemnation, to put it in simple terms for most of our listeners and for myself as well. An anathema means you are under the penalty of a mortal sin. You are cut off from sanctifying grace, and if you die in that condition, you go straight to hell. Now, Mike, there's another aspect of not bothering either to keep up with the teachings of the church or the commandments of the church, the obligations of the church, and that is, if you decide, you know, you make a conscious decision that you're not going to accept this part of what the church teaches, why would you then accept another part of what the church teaches? If you don't believe in its dogmas related to holy days of obligation, related to eating meat on Friday, and somebody says, wait a minute, that's been removed. Now, we're heading into the Lenten season, And you are obligated to abstain from meat on Fridays, Ash Wednesday, and so on. And these are obligations under the penalty of a mortal sin if you say, oh, I don't believe that, I don't buy that. But again, coming back to my question, Mike, why do you think somebody would opt for some teachings of the church and reject others as though the teachings they opt for are more valid than the things they've rejected? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's because they're unregenerate people and they're in a carnal state, and so they pick and choose things that are appealing to the flesh. The plan of salvation within the Catholic Church is very appealing to the flesh because you can go through a checklist of things that you must do to be saved. And so Catholics like that approach. They don't understand grace, that it's a free gift given by God to anyone who would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really amazing that a Catholic could escape all the condemnations of his church if he would just come to Jesus with empty hands of faith and embrace him and love him and believe the gospel of grace. He has the assurance of spending eternity with Jesus, never to be condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it is good news for a Catholic to escape the condemnations of his church, to escape any idea of mortal sin. We know that once a person comes to Christ, all of his sins, past and future, are placed on Christ. He bears the penalty, and the guilty sinner stands righteous before God. What good news we have to share with these Catholics.
Absolutely, Mike. And Mike, also, it's not a matter of our side versus their side. Our appeal here is to, what does God have to say about these things? You're either going to have the opinions of men, sometimes worked into a, not just an organization, but a system of rules and regulations that men who are in charge, whether it be a church, in some cases, we know there are cultic systems out there in which, you know, men raise themselves up and you have to do things their way. But whether it's a cult or whether it's an organization or whether it's what's referred to as a major religion, if it's men who are making these things up, then forget it. You know, we're all just kind of wasting our time here. But our encouragement to whoever's listening out there is to search the Scriptures. Get into God's Word. It claims to be God's Word. We can prove that it's God's Word. All you have to do is go down through the prophecies of the Scripture, and you can see that this book must be supernaturally authored. The words in it, the teachings in it, not only things that minister to your heart and encourage you, but things that would set you straight on many things that men have made up and we sort of bought into.
But the bottom line is that it's the only thing that we have on this earth as an authority that will never deceive us, but will always lead us into truth. It's the Word of God. Anything else we cannot trust. In fact, we are exhorted to test everything with the Word of God to find out if it's true.
Isaiah, the prophet, writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to the law and the testimony, in other words, to God's Word. If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. Again, men make up things. They make up things that sound pious, that sound good, that sound like they're going to keep the flesh in check. But it's of no avail. It can't work that way. You've got to do it according to God's Word.
Amen.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 1203. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. And we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.